This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Whatever the cool kids say, I'm definitely not cool. I've just recently learned all about how and when to use the term drip. Oh my gosh. Again, not cool, not something that I'll be saying on a regular basis. I saw a very prominent TV sideline reporter use it on her social media. And I thought to myself, okay, if she can use it, I can use it. And so then I started learning about it and thought better of it. Nah, only as a joke. I think you guys are all super cool, and it's amazing that you can use that in a sentence and keep a straight face, but I cannot. Oh, I'm just going to go back to trying to impress you with my vocabulary, not my Urban Dictionary vocabulary. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. By the way, I have a couple updates. First of all, I did, in fact, write a very kind, calm, measured, thoughtful note to my neighbor. So on Thursday evening, when I got done doing my preliminary work, I got a card. I asked my husband, should I write just a note on some paper or should I get a card? He said, I have no idea. I'm a guy. Oh, thanks. That's very helpful. And I said, okay, I'm going to get a card. So I did. I got a card with a really pretty yellow bird and some fun garden colors on it, because I know that my next door neighbor, the wife, that she loves flowers and she loves the outdoors. So I got a pretty card. And I first thing apologized that the situation has gotten this emotional and out of hand. I expressed that my husband is getting upset on my behalf because of how disruptive the light has been, but that I am really sorry that we allowed our frustration to boil over. Please forgive us. Can we start over? So that was where I began the note. Then I wrote, again, very measured and thoughtful, not emotional and blah, on a piece of paper. And I felt like this is the only way I can get my point across, considering that he will not listen, the neighbor. The second I start to say anything, he starts yelling. So I just wrote that the light has become very intrusive, and that with blinds and two sets of curtains on each of our bedroom windows, we're still seeing shadows. And then in addition, the light from his very bright LED globe on the side of his garage is spilling through our spotlight in the bathroom. It's lighting up the entire back of our house. We're getting all kinds of unnatural lights and shadows downstairs where we do not have curtains. And express to him that we are happy to help you move it, to change the light. We'll use our tools. We'll use our ladder. We'll do it for you. Will you please consider a floodlight that points into your yard and on the back of your house? And I even told him, we have a floodlight on the back of our house. We turn it off at night because we like the dark. So I tried to be as plain and I tried to be as calm as you possibly can. There was no emotion in it. I didn't accuse him of anything. Just asked, please, will you reconsider, knowing how much it disturbs me and how much it's bothering us, not just in our bedroom, but on the entire back of our house. And then I asked my husband for moral support to walk over and put it in their mailbox. So I did. I just wrote, from your neighbor, Amy, on the front of the envelope, pretty yellow envelope, wrote from your neighbor, Amy, and left it. Now, when I walked over there, I could smell the dinner. So their front door was open and I could smell the dinner. All their lights were on. Every light was on. I did not knock and run like a child. But I also didn't let them know that it was there because I knew that further conversation would not be beneficial. So I left it and then we walked back to our house. It took all of 10 seconds to walk over, drop it off, walk back. Now, when I left my house to drive to work, I forgot to check and see whether or not it was still outside because I put it with a clothespin up on top of the mailbox. So there's no way they're going to miss it in the mailbox. Guess what I found out though, Pete? What I found out, and this is just because we have a room going up on the back of our house. So this is what happened on Thursday during the day. They arrived about the time that I was going to sleep, the crew. For those of you who know, I don't know anything about this kind of stuff. I was kind of shocked when I saw the pictures. They had to cut off the siding on our house with a heavy duty saw. It's right outside where the roof is of this new room. It's just a little 10x8 room. They have to extend the roof that was already there. So they take off shingles, they take off siding, they put up the frame. But in taking off the siding, they're using a heavy duty saw, a power saw. It sounded like it was coming through into the bedroom. So I don't know how I fell asleep for a couple hours. I did. I slept till about 11:30. Then I woke up to all manner of banging and hammering and a power saw coming through the bedroom wall and all this kind of stuff. And I actually managed to fall asleep again around lunchtime. Don't ask me how, but I did manage to fall asleep again for a little bit.
It's called sleep deprivity.
Yeah, right. It was like, it was one of those things where there's no way I could stay awake, but it wasn't great sleep. And so then I could only think, like, what if I had to go to sleep tonight, or I was going to sleep tonight, and here is the light shining through the neighbor's window. So when I left, my husband was sleeping, and I just could not believe. Once your eyes adjust to the light, it's shining in. There's shadows on both of our walls from the light. It's like the two walls of the bedroom, because we're on the corner, and the light is shining in both of the windows. Oh, anyway, so yeah, it was one of those days where there was all manner of noise. And I will admit, there was at least a part of me who thought, I hope this loud noise is disturbing the neighbors. And then I thought, Amy, don't be like them.
Not good.
No. I don't want to be like them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also, something else that happened, and I want you to know I discovered something new. Maybe you don't realize this. It's good luck to spill and crack eggs all over your kitchen floor on the first Thursday of the month. Oh no. This is one of those moments. I don't know if you've ever had this with your wife or you did back when you first got married. We decided we were going to have eggs for breakfast. He pulls the container of eggs out. I think he's holding on to them. He thinks he's handing them off to me.
Oh boy.
So when he hands them off to me, I'm not ready for them. He lets go of them. I don't have them. All over the floor.
Oof.
Thankfully, I don't know how this happened. It was a plastic container. Three of the eggs did not break. One of the eggs was cracked but didn't come spilling out. Two of the eggs, yolk and egg white, all over the kitchen floor. It was amazing, but it's good luck. I just want you to know. This is how I'm confident that the neighbor's light situation will be resolved.
Okay.
Because we spilled eggs all over our kitchen floor on Thursday morning.
All right. I did not know that, but I think it's also good luck the fact that all of them didn't spill on the floor.
And we were able to save four of them plus part of the yolk of one of them that was on the floor because it was like perched up on something, and so we were able to grab it. But anyway, yeah, the 5-second rule. We were watching the whole time. When I was a kid, I used to eat things off the floor. I'm sure many kids do. But in order for my mom to try to curb me of that habit, she would tell me that spiders crawl into food that you leave on the floor. The worst was when I would drop a piece of gum on the floor and I would pick it up and I would eat it. Or like somebody else would drop gum and I would pick it up and I'd put it in my mouth because this is what kids do. And so in order to cure me of that very bad habit, my family started telling me that because I'm deathly afraid of spiders, if you leave food on the floor, a spider crawls into it and you will eat a spider.
Now, I tell my son whenever he does something like pick up something off the floor or whatnot, spider crickets will come.
Spider crickets?
Yeah.
Do I need to know what these are?
Well, they're more prone for houses that have basements.
What's a spider cricket?
It looks like a spider. It looks like a spider, and they pop around. Spider crickets, yeah. So,
I don't think I'm going to Google that.
My son saw it once, and he was terrified of it. And
I'm terrified of it.
Me being, having to realize, you know, I got to get him under control with some of this stuff. Spider crickets is the kryptonite. So
that'd be a really good nickname for a tremendous athlete who's got great length and reach and is really athletic. A spider cricket.
A good wide receiver.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are working on the Game of the Week poll. It will be up very soon. It's up. I am corrected. I stand corrected. The poll is up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And I know I'm behind the eight ball. I haven't yet put up the poll for baseball on our Facebook page. I will. It's a lot happening in here, and it was one heck of a Thursday night to launch forward into the weekend. We have chosen these games. Are you ready? Ravens, Bengals, because I'm all about divisional matchups. Bills, Texans, for obvious reasons. Stephon Diggs facing his former locker room and his former quarterback, for whom he caught more than 1,000 yards of receptions in the 4 years he was with the Bills. Cowboys, Steelers, and this one I think has intrigue for a bunch of reasons. Not only are the Cowboys in a situation where they need to string some wins together, but the Steelers just absorbed their first loss. And while it wasn't completely on the offense, Justin Fields actually looked really good. This is also a dire situation for both these teams, I think, because we're 1 month through. Which of these can start a new win streak? Which of these teams can find some consistency, some rhythm? And then Saints and Chiefs, that one comes from Monday night. Now, we will allow that there are always games that could be in the poll that we did not put in the poll. I do really like the idea of a red-hot Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings taking on his former team, the team that drafted him, the New York Jets. And yeah, you can be sure that Robert Saleh is paying attention to what Sam has done with the Vikings so far.
He's doing a good job, you know, and he's made a lot of plays, and they've taken a lot of advantage of some advantageous situations they're in, but he's been doing a really nice job.
I'm not really thinking about that, to be honest. You know, a lot of new faces over there. Still know a few players over there, but you know, I'm sure before the game, maybe after the game, seeing some of the people that I've built really good relationships with. That's always, you know, the fun part about this league, being able to, you know, see people that you've worked with in the past.
I appreciate that Darnold is taking the high road. No doubt this game has some significance for him. Now, the Jets were a couple stops ago, let's be fair. He went from New York to Carolina. He was traded to Carolina, right? So he got traded out of New York before his rookie contract was done. He ends up with the Panthers. He loses his starting job to Baker Mayfield, who also ended up with the Panthers that year. He ends up getting an opportunity to start, but we know now because of the Panthers and the mess, neither quarterback was going to work out. Then, in fact, Tom Brady couldn't have saved the Panthers. He might have been good for a couple of wins, but he wasn't going to save the franchise, not with the constant change they've had since David Tepper took over. So after that, he signs with the Niners, and he is the backup there to Brock Purdy. And Brock has raved about Sam Darnold. I've seen some of his comments online, on TV. He raves about Sam and what a good quarterback he is. And said when he ended up with the Vikings, he was sure that team was going to get a lot better. And you've heard multiple times now how much that year with the Niners did for his growth and maturation. There's something to be said for having the right situation, even if you're the backup QB. There's something to be said for coaching and stability and, of course, weapons around you, good leadership, a winning franchise, a winning culture. That was not the Jets. And I'm not even sure it's the Jets now. Because they've inserted Aaron Rodgers and they've brought in a bunch of players that they think will make him more comfortable. They do have some really good young talent that they've drafted that I appreciate about the Jets. But I don't know that they've built that winning culture yet. I think right now it's anything we can possibly do to win with Aaron Rodgers. That's the entire mantra of the Jets, is win with Aaron Rodgers. We don't know how long he's going to be around, and we don't know what might happen if we don't win, because we've sold out with Aaron. Aaron has said it. Saleh has said it. There are jobs on the line if the Jets do not take advantage of Aaron Rodgers in 2024. And so the situation with Darnold was much more about the Jets than it was about Sam. Did he have to grow up? Yes. Was he too big for his britches at the beginning? Oh, hell yeah. Not quite like Johnny Manziel, but close. He was big man on campus. He was making a lot more headlines off the field than he was on the field in New York. And I understand that's a temptation for a lot of guys. He got caught in it. Now he's grown up. He's matured. He's had good coaching. He's had good teaching. He's comfortable with the responsibility. And I think steady. The big thing for him is he doesn't turn the ball over nearly the way that he used to. And that's huge. And honestly, if you've got guys like Justin Jefferson and new guy Jalen Naylor and Jordan Addison catching the ball and running the ball for you, yeah, this is good. And Jefferson, we've not seen that production drop a whole lot despite the fact that he doesn't have Kirk Cousins anymore. And he knows it's a tough matchup this weekend, though, against the Jets, because Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, they're formidable.
But it's definitely going to be tough going against those type of guys. But, you know, we live for those matchups. I always love going against those top-tier corners. But I'm excited for the matchup, for sure.
Yeah, so this is one of those games where there are personal storylines, where there are little extra incentives. And remember, this is a team that Aaron Rodgers is also familiar with, too, from his time in the NFC North. We did not put Jets and Vikings into the poll. And I said this to producer Pete. It's because the Jets looked miserable last week. If you can't score a touchdown, you don't get to be in the poll the next week. Sorry. That's a rule. It's a new rule.
Okay, that's fair. I come at it from, there's a lot of storylines in this game. I think it's the undefeated Vikings and the Jets, who are always filled with drama, and it's in London, and I think it's probably the most storyline-ridden game that has been in London.
Huh. All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Let's hope it's a good game.
It won't be. I promise. It won't be. You know, me saying that is the kryptonite to that game.
Speaking of athletes who are facing former teams, the Bills and Texans taking place in Houston. And yes, Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and other teammates that Stephon played with in Western New York. Yeah, this is also extra incentive, because no matter what Sam and Stephon might say, they absolutely want to beat their former teams.
Since I took step foot in that building, we had some good years. We had a real good run. Played at a very high level. Built the bond with a good group of guys. So something I'll never forget.
A couple guys on the squad over there that we've had over here in Buffalo. Obviously Tim, Steph, Jerry Hughes, Case Keenum. So guys I spent a lot of time with and guys I still care about.
Josh Allen put Steph in a long line of guys. I'm really glad he didn't put Case Keenum first because that would have been obnoxious. Although they did share a quarterback room. But to me, this is the game of the week. Along with Ravens and Bengals, I'm kind of torn. But the fact that these are both two teams with high expectations in the AFC, both division champions from a year ago, the Texans have a lot more expectations based on the fact that they were a huge surprise last year and have they grown, not to mention the AFC South. And while the Jaguars are still looking for their first win, I think the Colts are going to be better than what maybe a lot of people thought. Although I'm not sure it's going to be with Anthony Richardson. He is the starting quarterback when he's healthy, but I don't know if he's going to stay healthy because he takes too many risks at this point. Titans and Jags, not right now. But the Texans and the Colts could end up doing battle down the end. Seriously, though, to have two division winners from a year ago with high expectations in the AFC, I like this clash, and I do also love the personal tie. So you can take our poll. After Hours, Game of the Week, Week 5. I see a lot of your votes already coming in. And we will get to, I'll get to that post up on Facebook, I promise. We'll get to some of the other matchups as well, like Mike Tomlin praising Dak Prescott. Certainly Lamar Jackson trying to figure out the best way, because there are a variety of ways, that they can attack the Bengals. We heard Joe Burrow say earlier in the week that he had to play a damn near perfect game because the Bengals have no margin for error. So there's a lot here. Looking forward to it. Also, Jaden Daniels, the great rookie quarterback for the Commanders, speaking out as well about all this attention he's getting all of a sudden. So it should be a lot of fun to look at some of these games. Week number 5. If you missed it, we did talk about Bucks and Falcons with our friend TJ Reeves, who joined us fresh off the plane. He's the Bucks sideline reporter. And once he landed back in Tampa, we got to talk to him about that game and how disappointing it is for the Bucks to drop this game when they had so many opportunities. Of course, we'll get to Bucks and Falcons in our final hour again, along with playoff baseball and what's to come. If you hadn't heard, Caitlin Clark, not unanimous, but near unanimous WNBA Rookie of the Year. It's a really cool opportunity for her. Of course, the people who are heaping praise on her. I also think it's telling that the WNBA waited until after she was out of the playoffs and after the Fever were out and then give them a couple extra days and drop the news, because when Caitlin Clark is in the headlines, there's a lot more attention. That's what's clear. So strategically dropped this week when the Fever have been done now. And she's known actually since going back to last week. So I think it's interesting when they finally chose to reveal the news. But they understand Caitlin Clark is it right now. A marketing machine. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page at A-Law Radio to find me online. Thanks so much for joining us on the final show of the work week. If it's your Friday, good morning to you here on the Infinity Sports Network.
There's a lot for us to, hold our heads high about. This team won 5 games 2 years ago, so we're a young group, a pretty inexperienced group, but we came together and I had a lot of fun playing with one another, and that's sometimes the worst part of it, is like you feel like you're really playing your best basketball and then it has to end. And but like I said, proud of this group, stayed resilient all year, and had a lot of fun together.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The season and 2 playoff games in which they were swept out by the Connecticut Sun. Caitlin Clark, the Indiana Fever, said that she was going to be a professional golfer in the offseason. She's not going to play basketball like many of her teammates do. In fact, I've seen at least one player's already gotten injured.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Overseas, and so that's the danger, but she needs a break from basketball. First time in almost a year that she hasn't been scheduled to play games that count. But we find out, because the WNBA wants to keep her front of mind, top of mind, and relevant, that she was a near unanimous pick for WNBA Rookie of the Year. That was announced on Thursday, even though they knew about it. So I found the video. If you haven't seen it, it's really cool. It's on my Twix at A-Law Radio, and I will retweet it. It's the moment during a practice for their playoff games in which the commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, called Christy Sides, the head coach of the Fever, and said, "Hey, is everybody around? Is Caitlin there?" And they're all goofing off. It's really funny because you get to see her personality. She's clearly in the spotlight because they had to know why Kathy was calling, and yet she's kind of uncomfortable, so she makes jokes. That's what I do when I'm uncomfortable. I make jokes. Anyway, she's dancing around. She's fooling around. Her teammates give her all kinds of love for it. And it's a neat video, so I just retweeted at A-Law Radio. So she is the Rookie of the Year, which is not a big surprise. But what is a bit of a surprise is that it was not unanimous. One vote for Angel Reese. Angel Reese also had an historic year in terms of rebounding and double-doubles, but she didn't finish out the season. She got hurt. She has a wrist injury, a fractured wrist, and bowed out. Not to mention the Sky did not make the playoffs. And while that's not all on her, I do think, if you compare the two seasons, there's no contest here. So there were some people who were taking exception to the fact that Caitlin was not unanimous. I'm sure Caitlin doesn't care. But she went from number one draft pick in April. She got 66 of 67 votes, rewriting the record books along the way for both rookies and point guards. And kind of neat, because Her teammates recorded a long message. That's also on the Fever website if you want to check it out, in the Fever Twix. And then her former coach, Lisa Bluder, of Iowa, who retired, but she and Caitlin had a terrific relationship. She actually called and recorded a message for Caitlin as well.
Caitlin, congratulations on being Rookie of the Year for the WNBA. What an amazing accomplishment. Who would have thought that all those years ago, back in Des Moines, Iowa, that this would be the case right now?
We knew
what we had in Caitlin back in Iowa City, and we knew the attention that she was bringing around the Big Ten and in collegiate basketball. But I didn't know how that was going to transcend into the WNBA, and obviously we can see that it's done pretty darn well, and people are excited to see her play at every level.
It is so true. Not one of the Fever broadcasts on TV this year drew fewer than a million viewers. The Fever games averaged nearly 1.2 million people watching on TV, 1.2 million households, and every other game, about half of that. Any game that did not feature the Fever. And I'm not saying that in any way other than to just point out the facts. Yes, all the other women are talented. Yes, the teams that are still playing are deserving of your attention, I believe. But it is palpable, the change, once the Fever were out of the playoffs, and the TV viewership numbers have reflected it. Now, are they also competing against the NFL and college football and Major League Baseball? Yes, they are. It's a tough month. I've said this before. I feel like the WNBA season, while the regular season kind of captures that space where there aren't a lot of other events going on, and it's in a good space where a lot of the year it's competing against baseball, although it does run into both the hoops and hockey final rounds of the playoffs, to have your playoffs in October is just a really tough sell. And maybe they never cared before because they didn't have this cash cow, this golden goose, if you will, but it's really tough. It's one of the reasons why NASCAR and its playoff races run with far less attention, because you're up against football and it's just, it's an uphill climb, and it's like Muhammad to the mountain, if you will. It's just, it's that type of a challenge up against football. One more video that I did retweet from our show account at Amy After Hours is just a quick, I think it's like a 3 to 4 minute montage of her best plays of the year. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. It starts dry with no music over her blocking the shot of another girl, and all you hear is, "Hell yeah!" And then that's her saying, "Hell yeah!" And she runs down the other end of the court, and they bring in the music, and just these incredible moments with the reaction of some of the announcers and stuff. So pretty sweet. It's a love fest on the Fever Twitter account. It's just at Indiana Fever. I got to make sure my mom knows, because she's been missing out on Fever highlights and Caitlin Clark. Caitlin was a guest on 60 Minutes, actually, last weekend. My mom told me one of the ways that she developed her shot early as a kid. Now, remember, she loved Maya Moore. She watched Maya Moore play in the WNBA and told her parents that's what she wanted to do when she grew up. And to that end, she asked her dad to please lay down a larger driveway, so expand their driveway, because she needed more room to practice.
I'm like begging my dad to like tear up some grass and pour more concrete so I could have an entire 3-point line in my driveway.
Did that really happen? You extended your range by dumping more concrete.
Yeah, because it was like kind of slanted. Our driveway was like slanted, so I only had a 3-point line on one side of the driveway. So I told my dad he had to tear up all this grass, and he did.
One of the reasons why people like her and are attracted to her, and I know it's this big mystery, why Caitlin Clark? She's normal. She's just normal. And I'm using my air quotations because there's no such thing as normal, right? There's no one standard. But she's relatable. She's goofy. She does not take herself too seriously away from the court. Does she work her arse off? Absolutely. And that's one of the things that all of her teammates said is, you work so hard. We're so proud of you. You deserve this. You work so hard. And Lisa Bluder was on our show. It was such an honor to have her on Selection Sunday night in March. And the thing she said to me is that the rest of her teammates, the Iowa teammates, they never got jealous of Caitlin or begrudged her the spotlight because she's such a good teammate. And you can see that with the Fever. They're all thrilled for her. calling her sister and little sis. Oh, some of them calling her kid, Pete. That's kind of funny. Veterans who've been in the league for 10 years calling her kid. And just Kelsey Mitchell, who was one of her running mates in the backcourt there. I love you. I love playing with you. I mean, they all really appreciate her because of what she puts into it and because it's not all about Caitlin Clark, at least not for her. And you can hear that in this 60 Minutes interview. She's just average. Again, whatever average normal is, she's relatable as an American kid who has got a really incredible talent. And so a little bit more here, too. And I don't know who did the interview, actually. I'll have to go back and I'll look real quick on 60 Minutes. But he asked her whether or not she knows when she lets a shot fly if it's going to be good.
I know when I'm going to miss. I know when I'm going to make it. The worst is when it feels good and you still miss.
But you know as soon as it leaves your fingertips.
If it feels good, yeah. So, like, if I miss it and it feels good, like, that's fine.
You're okay with that?
You feel good about your shot, yeah.
If I let it go, it feels good, and it doesn't go in, all right, I'm okay with that. Let's see. I think this was John Wertheim, who, of course, is a longtime basketball reporter. Yeah. 60 Minutes journalist John Wertheim said it was the entire NBA, not just Caitlin Clark, that was the breakout star of 2024. I could see that. However, Caitlin Clark was leading the charge. She was the one who was grabbing your attention and not giving it back. One more, and he did ask her about the treatment, I'm paraphrasing here, that many people believe she received in her first year in the WNBA, the fact that she got beat up a lot, there were a lot of hard fouls, and she's consistently said this is what the league is like. Well, she tells a story from earlier in the season.
Remember we were in New York, and John Paul Jones set a good screen on me, and I actually popped my eardrum, ruptured my eardrum just on a screen.
Your eardrum?
Yeah, it was a really good screen by JJ. She's a tremendous player, but I think that just kind of speaks to the physicality of the league. It's just, she kind of got me in the right spot.
Yeah, Jonquel Jones, they were in New York taking on the Liberty, and this actually happens at Barclays Center, and she got hit so hard on a screen, a legal screen, that her eardrum ruptured. And so she actually said, this is during the 60 Minutes interview, that is the standout moment of her rookie year. Just kind of understanding that the WNBA is a completely different animal. And so she says, a lot of these players are who I grew up watching on TV and wanting to be like, and now I get to play against them. And she's just 22 years old, 22 also her uniform number. She's got a lot still on her plate. I'll go back to it one more time before we take our break. I'm glad that she did not play in the Olympics. We'll see her in the Olympics. I know it would have been a lot of buzz. The girl needed a break. She needed a break. And did you see what happened post-Olympics break? They took 3 weeks off. She came back with such fire. She had energy. She was excited. And she really led the charge for the Fever to the playoffs after the Olympic break because that's what she needed. So things happen for a reason. Just as a side note, Aaliyah Boston out of South Carolina and now Caitlin Clark, back-to-back rookies of the year for the Indiana Fever. So their future is bright. We've got two polls up. At Amy After Hours, what is the can't miss, your absolute can't miss division series of the baseball playoffs? And already a ton of votes coming in, so thank you for that. And very tight, actually. Producer Pete, I'm going to go take a stab in the dark and say you voted Phillies and Mets. Or is that the one that's going to make you most nervous?
Well, it always will make me nervous, but it is my vote, yes.
Okay.
But if I take that out, I will say the Dodgers and Padres.
Well, right now, Dodgers and Padres have the nose in front, but Phillies and Mets, Guardians, Tigers, hot on their heels. What's wrong with the Yankees and Royals? Is there something I'm missing about Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and the Yankees having a week off and now taking on the red-hot Royals? Am I missing something?
There might be the thought
Bobby Witt Jr.?
Might be the thought that that the Yankees are going to have a field day with the Royals, which I don't think will be the case. I think it will go five, but I think there's probably that thought.
Let's hope they all go five. Retweeting some of your responses again at Amy After Hours. We also have the NFL Week 5 Game of the Week poll. What is the After Hours Game of the Week? That's there as well. So you're just starting with that poll, but it's also really tight early on. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Dexter Henry.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Thank you, Amy, for this update. We're going to go with the theme of fantastic finishes. First in the NFL, the Falcons, they got a comeback win on Thursday Night Football.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught. Kadarrell Hodge, 35, 30,
take it, baby.
20, 15,
it,
10, 5,
back.
Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarrell. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarrell Hodge and the Falcons. 45 yards. Kirk Cousins hit him right in the seam.
Kadarrell Hodge took a 45-yard pass from Kirk Cousins to the crib as the Falcons bounced the Bucs in overtime, 36-30. How about Cousins in this game? The Atlanta QB threw for a career-high 509 yards and four touchdowns as his team improved to 3-2 on the season. Other NFL news, the Chiefs placed wide receiver Rashee Rice on the injured reserve on Thursday, sidelining him for at least the next four games. Over to baseball, where the Mets, they were two outs away from their season ending as they trailed by two runs in the ninth inning. But Pete Alonso hit a three-run homer to put the Metropolitans ahead in the top of the ninth. In the bottom frame, New York shut the door.
Peterson ready to go to work against him. First pitch, swing a liner toward short. Picked by Lindor on one hop, runs to second, one throws to first. Out at first, out at first. Put it in the box. The Mets are out at the mound, pouncing on each other. The Brewers may want to have a look at this just to be sure, but if this holds, this party is headed to Philadelphia. The New York Mets have won this wild card series.
That's Howie Rose of the Odyssey Mets Radio Network. The Mets won by a final of 4-2 and win the series 2-1. Next up, a trip to the city of brotherly love where they will battle the Phillies in the NLDS. And in the WNBA, Caitlin Clark was named a unanimous Rookie of the Year, receiving 66 of the 67 votes in the award category. I'm Dexter Henry.
Give some directions to McCaffrey, who's out to the right. Two wide receivers to the left. Here's the snap. Arizona breaks four. Plenty of time for Jaden. Throws over to the middle, into the end zone. That is caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Terry McLaurin, back-to-back weeks for a score in the fourth!
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, it's been so much fun to watch Jaden Daniels early in his rookie season. We know he's accurate. We know that he doesn't take risks that he shouldn't be taking. So it's less of a roller coaster ride with a rookie quarterback. And it's been a lot of fun to watch him. I certainly know that he's still learning and that there are ways so far that the Commanders have been able to use him, and yet much more that they want to. But yeah, the biggest thing for rookie quarterbacks to learn is what I hear from guys in the league. A is the speed, right? You have to adjust to the speed. And B is the fact that you've got defensive coordinators and defensive players, of course, that are just as smart as you are. And this is what they do. They game plan to eat your lunch. They game plan to attack you. And everybody is so good at this level. And the hardest thing for young QBs a lot of times is to not take the risks. You don't need to be throwing the ball, chucking it downfield, trying to make up 14 points with a single flick of your wrist every single time. And that's a temptation. Or if you're a rookie quarterback, believing that you can make something out of nothing, as opposed to protecting yourself, right? Don't take unnecessary risks where you're flying headlong into a pile of defensive players just to get another 3 inches with your carry. Don't throw the ball up like it's some kind of a jump ball experience for the second level of the defense. Instead, throw it away so that there's not a turnover. Instead, you live to fight for another down. And also that punting is not evil, right? Your punter is your teammate. He's your friend. It's not evil to have a punt as much as you would like to have points on every drive. A punt is typically better than a turnover. So it's why it's a roller coaster ride for rookies. They giveth and they taketh away. The game's a little fast. Sometimes their minds can be processing a step late and a dollar short type of a thing. But we don't see that with Jaden Daniels. And so it's kind of fun to hear him talk about the game, too. And the way that he deflects, I kind of think it's a lot like Caitlin Clark. The way he deflects the praise and the fact that people are calling him an instant star, even in his first four games.
Man, y'all can say whatever y'all want. I'm still a rookie in my eyes, so I let everybody else do the talking for me. I don't get caught up in that stuff. But, man, it's a blessing. Just the preparation, obviously the team believing in me. We go out there and competing every Sunday.
You know, what's a lot of fun is to hear these guys on the offensive side for the Commanders rave about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. It's a bit of redemption. It's a sweet redemption for him, and it continues even now. They've won three in a row, most recently on the road at Arizona, where Kingsbury and Kyler Murray just weren't on the same page, right? It just wasn't the right fit after the first couple of years. And maybe it was personality driven, but it just wasn't working there. Now, Kyler was hurt a bunch and there weren't always guys around him. It's never the fault of one or two people, but it had to be amazing for Kingsbury to return to the desert. And his team puts up 42 points and squashes the Cardinals like a bug. He may not have reveled in it publicly, but no doubt they wanted to give him a little bit of that taste of sweet redemption. Well, it's also cool to hear how much these guys love this offense. Terry McLaurin's been calling it so much fun that, you know, it's just one of those offenses that allows everybody to get involved, that's creative, that's innovative, that puts you in a position where you can score a bunch of points. Yeah, we're hearing that from a lot of the Commanders, including Jaden.
Cliff has been calling a hell of a games, I should say. He puts us in the right position, and we just got to go out there and execute. I like what we're doing so far, and we got to keep improving and keep going.
Modest three touchdowns at this point. Okay, so we're not talking about setting the league on fire in terms of his passing, though. Like I said, he's accurate, which I think stands out. He's got a handful of rushing touchdowns as well, so that's a big deal. Right? Because he can use his legs. He's able to move around, stay mobile, but not take crazy risks. About 900 passing yards. Here's what stands out to most people and should stand out to you. His completion rate as a rookie who's got the ball in his hands all the time. 82.1%. Are you kidding? For a rookie? Well, for anyone, but for a rookie, that's phenomenal. So good for him. This was also a consideration for our game of the week, at least for me. I don't know that Pete and I talked about this one, but I thought about it briefly, and maybe it would have been in another year or another week, maybe another year too. But the Browns desperately need a win, or I don't want to say they're sunk after week five because that's probably not fair, but there's two forces here going in opposite directions. The Commanders are on top of the NFC East. Not easy to do, you know, considering that division's constantly turning over, but they are 3-1. They've won three in a row. They put up a bunch of points. Here come the Browns. And the Browns are desperate. Backs against the wall type of a thing. Pretty soon, and I know this is not accurate, so you don't have to at me, Cleveland, but pretty soon people are going to feel like, let's forget about the Browns. Let's go ahead and focus on the Guardians, right? Like put all our eggs in a different basket because the season is lost. It's not technically true. The season isn't lost after 5 weeks. We know what the wild cards do, but it's got to be painful right now because the hopes were a lot higher. And coming off of last year, where they had Joe Flacco and four other different starting quarterbacks, but didn't have Deshaun Watson all the way through, didn't have Nick Chubb, in my opinion, a far bigger loss than Watson. And now here they are. They've got a banged up Myles Garrett. They're missing people with injuries, but mostly the offensive line is a disaster. It's just not a team that I expected to see. And it's a tough division. It's a tough conference. So this is a a must-win game for the Cleveland Browns, dare I say it. I don't always say it, but it's a tough road to hoe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.